My name is Carla Hokamo and I'm actually the director of the Mitasazi Research Centre. So before I introduce my colleague Chris, I'd just like to thank you, Emma, for honouring us by allowing us to have this event hosted under the umbrella of the centre. And also thank you, Billy, so much for all that work that you've done to bring today together. And also I want to acknowledge Manuka as well. I know he can't be here this afternoon, but I want to just acknowledge him. Okay, so I've got the lovely role of introducing Chris Woods, and I've actually been Googling you this afternoon, Chris. Well, I mean, I took it for granted because I've known Chris for a long time. We are both colleagues in the Department of Management and International Business, and Chris Woods is an Associate Professor in Entrepreneurship and Innovation. And Chris teaches entrepreneurship. Chris has won a lot of teaching awards, multiple teaching awards. Last year, she won a national teaching award for sustained excellence in tertiary teaching. And if you want to Google her and have a look online about some of her her achievements in teaching, you'll see that she's been a very big influence on many hundreds of students that have come through this school. She is also the current director of the PGDIP Māori Development and also a valued associate of the Mitasazi Research Centre and also a very close colleague of mine and a friend. And her profile says, Chris is Kiwi born and bred. Chris's interest in entrepreneurship and the small to medium business sector was sparked after working in Malawi as a small business advisor, and instead of catching malaria, she caught the entrepreneur bug, becoming hooked on the passion and energy that entrepreneurs bring to what they do. And I just want to share with my own personal experience of working with Chris. She definitely does bring a lot of passion to the work that she does and really so much energy into this school. And prior to stepping in as director of the Mitasazi Research Centre, I was Associate Dean Māori and Pacific in the business school for 2 years before Anahera came and took my role as Kaiarahi. And during that time, I really needed a lot of kindness from my colleagues. And I've lost count, actually, of the times, Chris, that we had coffees and phone calls. And there would be times I'd come to work and I'd be looking for Chris's face, and she's a couple of doors down from me in the hallway, because I was looking for that collegial support. And it does take time, as you were saying, Kate, sometimes just taking time out of your day to share. So I want to mihi to you, Chris, for doing that and playing that role in our department as well. And also, I think it really, our relationship that we've had as colleagues really epitomises the tangata tiriti role, which you're going to talk to us about today. Chris is going to talk to us about appreciative inquiry as a research method and how it's been applied to a Marsden project exploring the views and experiences of tangata tiriti in relation to Māori and the Treaty of Waitangi in the post-treaty settlement era. So, ngā mihi, kia ora koutou anō, and hō mai te pakipaki mō Chris.
Kia ora koutou, and thank you very much, Carla, and I think coffee's a really good way of being kind. I'll do practically anything for a cup of coffee. So what I want to talk about, as Carla said, is around this idea of appreciative inquiry. And just picking up on the link with Kate and that quote, the way I saw that quote was a number of years ago, was don't try to be clever. Everyone here is clever. Just try to be kind. It's not everyone here is kind. And that's within the context of the university. And my background is I'm a recovering economist. So I did my economics degree and here, and I've sat in many a conference and many a seminar where, my word, kindness was sorely needed as everybody tried to be as clever as they possibly could be. And I take it as a great fortune that that was my experience, because it reminded me very early on, as I began my academic career quite a few years ago, not to try and be a smartass, because I was never going to win by doing that. And winning wasn't what it was all about. So this idea of kindness, I love the kōrero that we're having around that. So I wanted to talk about kind of, we've had a kind of a conversation at the macro level, at the meso level, and just talking about individually what I've been doing along with our colleagues around this idea of kindness. And to pick up on a particular research method and a way of looking at things called appreciative inquiry. Anybody here been involved in working from an appreciative inquiry context? So you'll be head nodding through the first few slides. And then to pick up on three different examples on family business, small and medium-sized family business, on this link with Indigenous research, and then specifically into the Marsden research that Carla alluded to, which is around learning the trick of standing upright here, which is a line from an Ellen Curnow poem, which I really, really like, and thank Billy for finding that. So what is appreciative inquiry? The idea is thinking about what works. It comes from organisational change, so from the work that Cooper Ryder and other colleagues did right back in the early 1990s, I think, so around organisation change. And it's about looking for what works well. So one way of thinking about this is, what's the best of what we're doing? What's working really well within our organisation? And that question of what gives life, it's quite a nice way of thinking about it. What might be? So what might we strive towards? And what could be, what should be the ideal? And then how do we empower, learn, adjust and do? Remember, this comes from an organisational context. So you're talking about teams, you're talking about leadership, you're talking about cultural shift. So that's the context from which this conversation takes place. And then it's been applied in as a research method. So, as I said, I just want to pick up on three particular instances. There's some really good YouTube clips on this, by the way. You know, it's really easy to find out a little bit more about it. So my first engagement with this was working with a colleague, Paul Woodfield, on his PhD. And I love this particular image because so much of what we do is deficit-focused. Look at what's missing. Look at what we're not doing. Look at how clever we can be by telling people what they're not doing and what they really should be doing. Because should is such a mean word at times. Such a mean word. Not always, but it can be, and I'll give you an instance of it in a moment. So within family businesses, small and medium-sized businesses. So I work with the Ice House, have worked with owner-managers of small and medium-sized businesses for the last 20 years. By those businesses, I mean businesses, not the StatsNB definition of it, but talking about businesses that are employing between about 10 and 80 to 100 staff. And these are the only people, those who are in that SME space, employing others that pay their own wages. Most of us sitting around here, we don't pay our own wages. We earn them, but we don't pay them. So when it comes to payroll for these owner managers, and there's not enough cash to make payroll, they don't get paid, their staff do. And I have heard that story over and over and over again. So if we're thinking about this idea of doing kindness, or the ordinary acts of kindness, and you then pay, let's take an illustrative example. You pay for medical insurance for 80 of your staff, because you employ 80 staff, and you pay for their medical insurance. Where do you think that money comes from? It comes out of your back pocket. And you do it because you believe it is the right thing to do. And there are any number of instances I can think of. And these are also businesses where I've seen their balance sheet, I've seen their profit and loss statements. And I think they're often the unsung heroes of the New Zealand economy. They're the men and women, Māori and Pākehā and Pacifica, Asian, whatever. They're the unsung heroes of our economy that are doing kindness every single day. Not the corporates, not those in the government sector, not us here at a university. But I don't think we hear enough about them. And so this was looking, and by the way, 60 to 70% of New Zealand SMEs are family businesses. The difference is if you're in a business that's not family. Okay, so these are not individuals, these are family businesses. And that's true across so many different contexts. So what's working well in these family businesses? And the other thing is that some people will then kind of comment that, oh, well, then you're just glossing over those things that aren't working well. And that's not the case. And I think this is quite an interesting way of looking at it. Appreciative inquiry interrogates the negative experience and seeks to identify the value or need that is being denied, reframing the negative experience to recognise other instances where the denied value has been experienced, either within the institution or the organisation or elsewhere. And this quote comes from an article, the first one, Yarning and Appreciative Inquiry, the Use of Culturally Appropriate and Respectful Research Methods when Working with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Women in Australian Prisons. And there's another article that's referenced there. Now, in working with Māori and working alongside Māori, Kaupapa Māori Research Methods covers aspects of this. But for me, as a Pākehā researcher working with Māori, this appreciative inquiry lens I have found really useful. Because otherwise I come in with the shoulds. And if I come in with the shoulds, then I'm not working alongside. Same as coming in with the shoulds around owner-managers of small and medium-sized businesses, for example. And we get it from Wellington all the time. You know, they really should be building and growing their businesses so that they can move from that 50 million to a 100 million turnover. Really, should they? You know, the fact that they've barely been home to see their kids, the fact that their houses are mortgaged to the hilt, you know, or you're not having to do that. So, again, just kind of stepping back and wanting to move from that deficit to kind of asset-based situation. And then lastly, coming into this, our Marsden research, which began with Billy and Rose and Avril last year, learning the trick of standing upright here, tangata tiriti and appreciative inquiry. Now, the appreciative inquiry is my add-in to the title because that's the method that I'm using in this inquiry. And what we're doing is we're interviewing non-Māori New Zealanders working in some form of partnership capacity with, alongside, in support of Māori in their professional lives. The focus I'm taking is working with non-Māori entrepreneurs and business owners who engage proactively and successfully with Māori and working with and talking with them. So, for example, did an interview recently with a partner in a law firm who works with a particular very successful hapu, and we're having this conversation, and she's been working with them for 17, 18 years. But do you know when the law firm, and the law firm's all non-Māori, mostly Pākehā, do you know when the law firm started working with Māori? In 1887. Talk about walking the treaty, you know, and a positive engagement. And we know that because, you know, we've also, although we're not interviewing Māori from that particular hapu, we've done other work with them. So here, exploring this idea of the covenant that is the treaty and what is working well, because for so long we've expected Māori to be able to help us as non-Māori work well. Well, you know, how about we stand up and engage in that conversation as non-Māori with other non-Māori to look at what we can do. And so this is a really exciting project, and it's just amazing. Alan talked about, although, you know, there's so many stories that they're not blasted on the front page of, you know, a really inadequate media. But all of these amazing stories that we have around New Zealand about all of, you know, this successful engagement. Not that there's not negative experiences. So we're not papering over those, but how can we move forward? So that's just a touch on where I see kindness, empathy, and generosity of spirit playing out and how I'm endeavouring with other colleagues to engage in that.